2022. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening to on any of your podcast directory, it could be Apple Podcast, Spotify, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can go to thesportscast.net or the app, The Sportscast for iOS. You can also read our news there as well. The knockout stages are set for the 2022 World Cup in Qatar. A couple of interesting results yesterday and today, but yesterday's results were pretty crazy. And joining us all the way from the West Coast, Francisco Flores, welcome back to the World Cup coverage on the Sportscast.
How's it going, Santiago? It's good to be back. Obviously, I'm a little disappointed Mexico's out, but we'll get to that.
And also, it's your birthday. Happy birthday, Francisco.
Yep, it's my birthday. The big 21, you know.
Yeah, big 21. You're allowed to drink your Coronas or your Modelo.
Finally,
or
Dos finally. Equis. Been waiting so long, finally allowed.
By the way, what is your favorite Mexican beer?
I like Victoria's. I think that's probably my the top as far as the top beer. But I mean, I'll drink a Modelo. That's it's also a pretty good, you know, just like a Coors or a Pabst, you know.
You know what I've noticed? A lot of people have been saying to me their go-to beer as of late has been Modelo.
Modelo, yeah.
I've been hearing that a lot lately, but yep. I don't drink, so I wouldn't know what is what. Anyways, today was Group G and H. Switzerland advances to the second stage with Brazil in Group G. Cameroon beat Brazil 1-0, and Switzerland beat Serbia 3-2, and the top two was Brazil and Switzerland. Let's go into the Switzerland Serbia match. It was a lot of chaos in the first half. Francisco, a goal by Shaqiri, who plays for the Chicago Fire, and then a goal by Mitrovic from Fulham. He finally, I think it's his first goal of the tournament. And then they went up 2-1 with a goal from Dusan Vlahovic. And then Switzerland tied it up with Brillem Bolo, very talented. I think he has two goals in this tournament. Tied it up, and then in the 48th minute, Remo Fuller got ahead of Serbia 3-2 and into the knockout stages. Your thoughts over this match?
Well, this game, it was a pretty exciting one to watch. Just a lot of back and forth, and also just between the two teams, it seemed like there was something else going on there as far as they had some beef or maybe some of the chance possibly by, I think it was the Serbian, maybe ultras or something like that. And they were chanting some stuff that the Swiss players didn't like. But yeah, it was a nice heated match. I think 11 cards were showing between the two teams. And yeah, it was a fight, if that would probably be the best way to describe it.
Yeah, there's about 11 yellow cards. Good thing this group was not decided by a FIFA fair play. Because yesterday was, which we'll get to that soon. Switzerland had a good start of the tournament. They beat Cameroon 1-0, and then they lost against Brazil. And then they beat Serbia, and Serbia became the worst team. But the Switzerland team, very neutral. They had a good Euros, actually, 2 years ago. They beat out France. And now, which we'll get to the knockout stage. We're not talking about the knockout right now. But this team is capable or very neutral. What do you think?
I definitely see some potential in the team. I think they have a good mixture of experienced players and not as experienced players. They don't have a lot of youth, but I think they have a good combination of players in that way. And also, I think collectively as a team, they just understand the system that their manager wants them to play. And I think that's what's probably helping them the most. You know, anything could happen, as we've seen. And when you play like a team and you understand the system, Switzerland is proving what a team like that can do. It doesn't matter if you have X amount of players from this league or that league, or if, you know, the English team has all Premier League players, you know, the best league in the world. Like, it doesn't matter. When you prepare and you practice like a team and you put that effort on the field, Switzerland just proved that you can do anything. You can even qualify to the next round of the World Cup.
Yeah, and I think Serbia hasn't had many appearances in the World Cup before, so good squad, but a little too, I don't know, a little too tough. They needed some more creativity, but maybe we'll see them again in the Euros and whatnot. All right, the Brazil-Cameroon match. Brazil was already qualified. They had 6 points coming into this matchup. Brazil had 9 changes in their lineup. We saw Gabriel Jesus play. We saw the old man, Danny Alves, 39 years old, play. Ederson, Man City, he's actually goalkeeper number 2 behind Alisson, which I don't mind that. And we saw more of Antonelli and the great Martinelli, actually, who's from Arsenal, which everyone was kind of shocked about that pick. No, he wasn't picked over Bobby Firmino. It was actually Richarlison that was. But we saw Fred back, Fabinho from Liverpool. Your thoughts over this matchup, even though it was a loss to Cameroon, which was a goal by Aboubakar, they got disqualified. But what was your thoughts over this matchup?
Yeah, basically a throwaway match for Brazil, which I thought was a little risky. And I mean, they obviously got the result, but I think that was a pretty risky take for them. But it ended up working out for them. So not really much to comment as far as the game. I thought it was a good way for the younger players, the ones who aren't the starters, to get some minutes. Pretty big physical team, Cameroon, and they put up a good fight, but the win wasn't necessary. So I think the efforts were also not there from the players. So yeah, I would have liked to have seen a Brazil win just to go in with confidence into the next round. I feel like confidence is a big thing in the World Cup. So I don't know, maybe that's a bad call in the managers for the manager of Brazil, Tite, but we'll see. We'll see what happens in the next round.
We did see Neymar walking in the tunnel normally, and he didn't play or was in the bench, but he was in the stands. I haven't heard anything about him playing in the round of 16 for sure. I think like that was the plan, but do you think Brazil needs him?
I mean, at this point, we've seen what they can do without him, and I think it's fine. I don't think they need him. Absolutely. I think there's other players that could do just as well. I mean, he might have a slight edge over, you know, XG, you know, like that might be the only thing that he's probably the best player with on the team. But I think Rodrigo and Vinicius are plenty capable of taking his place. And if anything, they're probably faster and can run more in 90 minutes than Neymar.
No Real Madrid bias there.
None at all. None at all.
Brazil has 65% of the ball possession, couldn't score, had 21 shots on goal to Cameroon's 7 shots on goal. So, but not enough to score. Okay, the big one, the tears, was in the Uruguay versus Ghana match. 2 goals by Arascueta in the 26th minute and the 32th minute as well. And it was like the first goals that Uruguay scored all tournament. So this has a lot to tell. Luis Suarez started in this match with Darwin Nunez up top. But they lost. They won that game 2-0. But with goal difference, Korea, who beat Portugal 2-1, did not make it. Third place. Francisco, this Uruguay team, once I saw them lose against Portugal, I didn't think they were all there, even though they were talented. But I don't know if their old players kind of stood in the way with Cavani and Suarez.
Yeah, I don't know if they stood in the way. I think there's definitely teams. I mean, Mexico did it with Raul Jimenez. You know, I mean, his is a little bit different, but I feel like there's players that were picked for, you know, the leadership, I guess, for the fact that they've earned their place. You know, they've been putting in the work for the team for a long time. You know, Suarez and both Cavani, like, they get called up every single time, and they always score goals. They put in the work. But yeah, I would say that it's just they just weren't prepared for this World Cup. Just a lot of simple mistakes, and they obviously in the last game it gets very emotional because anything could happen. You know, one minute you're qualified, 20 minutes later you're out. Anything could literally happen. So I just think they weren't ready for this World Cup. It wouldn't have mattered, you know, if they had Suarez or Cavani up top or whoever. They weren't prepared. And you know, some players will get to come back, and I think for the future with Darwin Núñez and especially Valverde, like I wouldn't be worried about I wouldn't be worried if I was Uruguay as far as going forward. I think that they, for the future, it's a pretty good outcome.
Yeah, we're seeing a picture of Luis Suarez starting to cry. This is actually towards the beginning.
That's the very beginning.
But this is, do you think this is like the last time we see Suarez and Cavani on the Uruguay team?
I think, yeah, Suarez for sure. I mean, Cavani, maybe if he can stay in the same shape, you know, form, kind of like Zlatan, I feel like he can. Suarez, I think we've already seen that he kind of struggles with he has been struggling more with his physicality and his, you know, like he just doesn't look, he looks a little bit more overweight. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's
he looks out of shape.
Yeah, because Cavani is in his mid-30s, and I think Luis Suarez is towards his late-30s, but it feels like Cavani thinks he needs to retire now. It's like, dude, you're 35. You could be like Ronaldo, or you could be like Messi playing to their late-30s. I mean, I'm not pushing Pirlo. I know Pirlo is a huge exception, but it feels like he wants to retire, but, dude, you're playing in Valencia. You know, is it a Valencia or Villarreal?
I think it's... Valencia, pretty sure.
I think it's Valencia, and he's done well. I mean, he scored a couple goals there, but there is a Copa America next year, I believe. They always keep having Copa Americas every year for some reason. we might see the last. Sometimes you want to wait to that other tournament next. But Uruguay fired their coach, their old one, Coach Tavares. He was in the post for 16 seasons. I mean, years. And they have this new coach, but it felt like they have a lot of talent with Bentancur, Núñez, and Valverde. And also, they didn't start Muslera in this tournament. So,
in the goal, you know.
Yeah, so it's quite interesting. This Uruguay team, this one team that I thought was like, I don't know what's up with them. Anyways, in the other match, South Korea beat Portugal 2-1. South Korea also advances with Portugal at spot number 2 in Group H. Sun had an 8.2 rating in FOTMOB. Ronaldo started, and a lot of the players in Portugal, they had a lot of changes. Ronaldo played for some reason. Maybe he's playing for a club. He's trying to get a club contract. But South Korea, with the other Asian teams, have done well in this tournament. But what were your thoughts over this match?
I would have liked to see a little bit of more of a push from Portugal. I thought that they really underestimated their opponents. I think that was the biggest thing. Obviously, going into the game, I think Korea knew that the possession wasn't going to be on their side. So they weren't playing like that. They were letting Portugal have the ball basically, and they were just waiting patiently for their chances, and they got them. The second one came super late. So obviously it got super emotional for them, and especially after the whistle, because they didn't know if they were going to make it. I think they had to wait like 5 minutes or something like that for the end of the Uruguay game. But yeah, once they knew they were through, it was nice to see a team to celebrating in that way, like the underdogs, you know, like it means a lot more to them. And although I wanted to see, you know, all the big clubs make it, I think Korea going through is good to see some of the underdogs go through. You know, people can say whatever they want about you know, oh, the big team must go through, you know, or people are not going to watch. People are going to watch it regardless. It's the World Cup.
It's the World Cup. And of course, the Asian teams are doing well in this World Cup. I think half of the African teams are doing well. Not all of them, but we're seeing a lot of these teams go into the next round. And the reason why is because a lot of the big teams are dropping out. Germany dropped out yesterday, even though they won 4-2 against Costa Rica, and also Belgium dropped out. Your thoughts on with these two teams? I mean, Germany had an okay squad, you can say. Hansi Flick, new coach. And Belgium, they were towards the end of their golden generation. But what were your thoughts on these, you know, two teams dropping out early?
I think it's hard to choose which one is the harder loss, or who's had the worst failure. I think it doesn't matter who you choose, Germany or Belgium. With the talent, especially Germany, I feel like they had a little bit slight the upper hand over Belgium, but it just, yeah, they're disappointing for both teams. I think for Germany and Belgium, next World Cup, the teams that are gonna line up for them are not gonna be these, like 80% of these players are not gonna be there for both teams. So it's exciting to see, to at least see that, like, there's gonna be some change. We've seen these Germany players for what, 3 World Cups, some of them 4, I think. So it's not 3 for sure, but yeah, Belgium, I think they also need a little bit of restructuring. I wasn't a big fan of their manager, Martinez. I don't like how he sets up his teams. I've just never been a fan of his managerial style. But yeah, very disappointing. For me, I would have liked to see Germany through, obviously, the superior race.
Yeah, and also you were saying about Martinez. He was there for 6 years for Belgium. Don't know if he wasted – I mean, if Belgium wasted all those years with him, because this golden generation was stacked, with Kevin De Bruyne, Lukaku, who missed, like, 6 shots.
He should have had a hat trick. At least, oh man,
against Croatia, and then of course, you know, Germany, when they lost against Japan, you shouldn't lose to Japan. Let's be honest.
Nope,
that's not the German. That is not the German standard, I would say.
Nope.
But you know, Germany, 2 World Cups in a row, Francisco, getting eliminated in the group stage, 2 World Cups in a row.
Not even Mexico is that bad.
Exactly. And now I'm hearing Tuchel might be able to replace. Well, Hansi Flick hasn't resigned, or he hasn't gotten fired, but a lot of noise about Tuchel coming. Even Klopp is being brought up for the German team.
Yeah, I think it would be in typical German fashion, like keep it, you know, German manager, German team, all German. I think any of those guys would be a good pickup for them. It'd be hard, a little hard to steer Klopp away from Liverpool, I think. I think he wants to stay there, and I don't blame him. You know, being an international team manager is a pretty hard job. You know, you don't get to see the players as often as you would like, as far as in practice and getting them in the session so that they understand your system. Like, it's, you know, you play tournaments every so often. It's not a league where you're playing every week in, week out. So it's not a job meant for every manager. Not just because you're a club manager, it means that you can manage at the international level. So, but I think any of those guys would be a good fit. I mean, I think there's possibly even more candidates. Like, they have a huge pool to choose from, lots of German managers. So I wouldn't be worried about the manager or talent. I think the new guys that are coming in for Germany, I mean, yeah, there's already guys that should have, been putting in the work, like Kai Havertz or Timo Werner. But I think even the guys that we don't hear about that are at the U17 like team or U20, like those guys that are coming up are going to be just as good. And we'll see the German team come back. If they don't make it, you know, in the next World Cup past the group stage, then there might be some time to do some reforming up there in the federation level, just like Mexico needs.
Which we'll get to that next. Yeah, Thomas Müller hinted that he's going to leave Germany. And typically, my final thoughts on Germany is their coaches last for a long time, like 8 to 12 years.
Yeah.
We see Joachim Löw, Bertie Vogts. I think the short time was that Rudi Völler guy, I think only lasted one cycle. And Klinsmann as well, I believe. I think he only lasted one cycle. But Joachim Löw continued. So I guess it's not the first if you see Hansi Flick only lasted for four years. But we'll see what happens. You know, he could have started more Bayern Munich players, perhaps, to get more consistency. But we'll see. Still early. A lot of these national team decisions take time to hire a new coach. It's not instant. They got time. Like their next, probably their next international break is March, but they could always have an interim coach by then. And then, but the qualifiers will probably resume in March or in June sometime. So we'll see what happens there, and also Belgium as well. Okay, so on Wednesday, the big one, Mexico beat Saudi Arabia 2-1, but got disqualified, eliminated from the World Cup. First time in 7 World Cups. They always come out of the group stage. They don't make it to the quarterfinals, but this time they got out of the group stage. They came in 3rd place behind Poland and Argentina. Argentina beat Poland 2-0. Mexico could have gone forward if they had 1 goal, but lost the chance to get into the second round. Tata Martino got fired. But let's first get into Mexico. Your thoughts over their elimination this early of the tournament?
Well, I was if you thought Mexico was going to make it through the next round going into this game, you had to have a lot of hope and a lot of patience, because we had no goals up until that point, and we had to score at least 4 to be for sure 4-0 to make it through. And also Argentina needed to win, which some of those things did happen, but we didn't get enough goals, and then that Saudi Arabia goal just killed all of that hope and dreams for Mexico. But like you said, we had a good run, 7 World Cups to make it through. So I think that's the thing that Mexico fans need to think about, is that, yeah, while, you know, the failure of this not making it to the group stage or out of the group stage in this World Cup, everything leading up to it, losing to the U.S., all of 2022 this year, not winning any trophies. The U20 didn't make it. Oh, we didn't qualify for the Olympics in 2024. And
losing to the Nations League and the
Nations
Gold Cup.
League, the Gold Cup. The US. And then I think there's also some failures on the women's side. They also didn't make it to the World Cup. So there's just failure all over the Mexican Federation. So that's why there's going to be some changes. Not the big boss isn't leaving, John de Luisa. I think he's the director, I think, of the Federation. He's not leaving, or hasn't announced that he's resigning, and he's like the big boss in charge, but he has announced that there will be all types of reforms, and basically everyone's getting fired.
Everyone. And also Tata Martino,
and yeah,
didn't Tata say Martino that he got fired or resigned, but he said that was his last match. His contract was over once the whistle blew. Your thoughts on that?
I don't know if you remember when we did that podcast. It was a while back, I think over the summer, when we were talking about, is it too late to bring in a different manager like now, or, you know, and I was like, I think, and I was like, we should just do it, go for it, because this guy's not going to take us, you know, where we need to be. And
he even said he didn't believe in the Mexico team advancing.
Yeah, I think I had read, and I also read a rumor that supposedly he handed in a resignation back when Mexico lost to Canada. Those are some Reddit rumors that I was reading. And that the Federation didn't accept his resignation. That's why he continued. So maybe there were some, I haven't heard anybody bring this up at a media or a conference or a press conference or anything. I mean, he hasn't done any since that one for the World Cup, but it would be interesting to see if that was true or not. But regardless, he's gone. He needed to be gone a long time ago. A little bit of conflict of interest here with him specifically, because he was from Argentina and we played against Argentina. We got them in our group and we lost that game. It was a good
a lot of conspiracy theories there.
Yeah, there's conspiracy theories, you know. Of course. I mean, there are pictures and video of Tata Martino congratulating the Argentina technical staff afterwards. So that doesn't look good regardless. I mean, they might be his friends or whatever, but I don't know. I feel like that's a little fishy. But regardless, this is what it took for the Federation to be like, all right, yes, we are a failure. Like there was a lot of doubt, I guess you could say, or questioning, like, wait, no, like the media is saying that the US is better, or that, you know, this, that, and it's like, wait, that's not true. And then kept denying it. We're in denial. And then boom, we're out of the World Cup in the group stage. And I think reality has set in that this Mexico team was just not set up to be successful at this World Cup, and hasn't been. They don't have the things that they need to be successful, and they haven't been provided those things, whatever it is that they need, new managers, you know, better facilities. I don't know what it is, but Mexico definitely needs a reform of some sorts, top down, all the way to the top. I would say with the director, he's not going to resign, but I would say all the way to the top, start from there and then work yourself down.
Start from scratch. Now, this team was also going through a rebuilding, because they were, you know, getting away from the Chicharito years and the Carlos Vela years. And I guess you could say the Dos Santos era, you know.
Yeah.
But then I've been hearing another thing, like they could, like if it was a whole different manager, they could have brought Carlos Vela and Javier Hernandez. Your thoughts on that?
I mean, yeah, I mean, obviously there's, as far as someone else, a different manager coming in and picking those players, for sure, that's definitely possible. Whether that would have made a difference or not, I mean, at best, Chicharito maybe came in as a sub, you know, for Henry Martin. Like, I still would have done preferred Henry Martin, and he plays for America, you know, and I'm a Chimos fan, so. But I mean, Vela, like, I mean, after everything that I've heard about him and what he thinks about soccer, the sport, like, I can't trust the guy to put in his everything on the field, you know, at the World Cup, like day in and day out. Like, he just doesn't like soccer. Like, come on, what kind of professional soccer player doesn't like soccer? Like, doesn't make any sense to me. He's like, yeah, this is just a job for me, like being a professional. Like,
oh wow.
Oh, Mexico fans, they care that, you know, I chipped, you know, this and that, and I did score this goal, and like, he doesn't care about any of that. Like, he's like Bale. It's like, I'd rather go and like watch a basketball, or, you know, go play golf. Like, come on, man. So I don't really think that they would have made a big difference. At best, both of them maybe came in as subs, which then it's like, why bring them anyways? So I think the who really got screwed in this World Cup is the up and coming young talent, because we didn't take any youth players. So I think that just basically Mexico just turned their back on all of their youth and the players that are trying to work and make their way up, you know, to the team. Like, if anything, that's the whole, you know, Mexican League, just Mexican Soccer Federation. That's what they need. They just need players that are just going to come in and put in the work, you know, just regardless of, you know, they're going to play or not, like, or whether they know they're going to play or not. They need people, players that are come in and give us a boost, that are going to give us confidence that, okay, yeah, he's on the bench, but he might be able to do something, you know. And Chicharito and Vela, they don't give me any hope.
Yeah. And we mentioned a stat about 2 weeks ago, actually, that Mexico did not bring any player under 23 years old.
Yep. Yep, I think they were the oldest squad, I think, average,
and
the World Cup.
and they're going to co-host the World Cup in 4 years.
Exactly. So what does that say to the youth players? Like, yeah, wait till you're 30 and then we'll call you up. It's like, bro, some of these guys might have already broken a leg or two and might not be able to go into their 30s as a professional.
Well, there you have it. Mexico out of the World Cup. USA, the only CONCACAF team that made it to the round of 16, which will take us now to the knockout stage. We're going to preview the knockout stage with Francisco and I and see who's going to win. And your thoughts over these matches. Let's start with Netherlands versus USA. The first match tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern. USA got second place in Group B. Netherlands first place in Group A. I think Netherlands has not performed the best. England has, and USA has performed really well. They just haven't scored many goals. And I still hear from England press, USA was good. It was good. What's your thoughts over this first matchup in the knockout round?
Well, I don't want to sound like I'm going to give credit to the U.S. All right. But I think I think they have a pretty good chance of making it through. Netherlands, they're a team that really needs to concentrate and put all of their effort into winning the game. I think if, how the U.S. are going to win is if the Netherlands underestimate their opponents, which I feel like because of the results from the group stage, I think that's definitely possible. So in my eyes, I think the U.S. have a good chance, but I still see Netherlands going through.
Netherlands go. I think the U.S. can move on. Did you hear about the Netherlands flu bug in their camp these past couple of days?
Oh, no. So they got that some sickness.
Yeah, a flu. Not the whole camp, but a few of the players and staff. Mm-hmm. So that could affect them.
Yeah.
Psychologically could be a factor. But
the
yeah.
Flu game.
The flu game.
Michael Jordan style.
Exactly. Oh, well, that's not good. But I got the U.S. going by either 1-0 or PKs. I think our trouble was scoring and not figuring out that number 9. Which Mexico figured out the number 9 a long time ago.
Yep.
But we haven't. But I think U.S. will probably sneak in somehow, some way.
No, all right. No more draws. Penalties now. Exactly. No more draws.
A lot of these knockout games look pretty easy on paper, especially with the big teams. Let's go with Argentina, Australia. Your thoughts?
Well, for this one, I think on paper it's overwhelming in Argentina's favor. I don't think Australia have a chance against Argentina. Australia just, you know, they have a few players that play abroad, but most of their players are playing the domestic league and the A league, and at best it's slightly on the same level as MLS, so their players to me aren't the greatest, aren't the best, and not on par with Argentina's. You know, one on one, you're gonna pick Argentina's players over Australia all day. So I'm gonna say Argentina 2-0, and it'll probably be Messi who scores both of them.
Messi scores. I need to tell you this interesting fact I learned about a week ago. After the five big leagues in Europe who are representing the World Cup, the fifth or like right after the top five European leagues, the Premier League, the Liga, Serie A, Bundesliga, and Ligue 1, MLS is after them with the most MLS players in the World Cup. Sixth spot.
Oh, wow.
FYI. I just want to say FYI. So, let's go into, I have Argentina as well. I think Australia had a good group stage. I think they accomplished a lot, but it'll be too much for Argentina. I think Argentina figured out their roster after the Mexico match and they beat Poland really well. I think their confidence, and plus with Australia, it's going to make even them more stronger. Japan, Croatia. This one is closer than I think. You think, because I think Japan is having a fantastic tournament. Two wins, they beat Germany, and they beat Costa Rica. Was it Hold on, Japan to beat Spain to beat Spain, Germany. Spain. Keep that in mind. Even though Spain was probably want to play Morocco, got first place. Croatia made it to the top four years ago. Did okay, actually. I mean, they beat Canada 4-1. Is this going to be an upset, or is Croatia going to take this one?
I think this match has a pretty good chances of being an upset. I mean, I think, yeah, Croatia probably has the upper hand. I mean, Japan is it's pretty close, though, after seeing them put in the work against Germany and Spain. Like, anybody who hasn't gone back and seen the highlights for those games for Japan, like, you should go back and look at them. Just look at the way that Japan are playing as a team and just never gave up for the whole 90 whatever minutes that they played in every one of those games. I think Japan has finally, I think they just have, they have a, they strategize a lot. They have a lot of thoughtfulness going into their formation and who their opponents are. They like to study their opponents. I think that's probably the best way to figure out, you know, how to set your lineup, how to, you know, who to start and who not to start, especially in a tournament like this. But Croatia could be doing the same thing. So who knows what we'll end up seeing from both teams on game day. Yeah, it's hard for me to choose one. I think I'm going to go anybody's game. Yeah. I mean, I had Croatia going through, but definitely not Japan in my bracket. But they definitely surprised me, and I like the way that they've been playing. Same with South Korea. Both of the Asian teams just played really well. Let's see. I'm gonna go with Croatia. I think that they're gonna be able to manage it. It won't be easy. Probably like a 2-1 or something like that. Like, just gonna be a fight till the end.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fight. If I was Croatia, definitely take Japan as if you're playing Brazil, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's what I would do, because these Asian teams are definitely, I've seen these sparks and momentums. Hard to pick. I'm gonna pick Croatia as well. I like Croatia, and I like Modric. Plays for Real Madrid, apparently. So we're going for the old guy. This was also an easy one on paper. Brazil versus Korea, another Asian team that's doing fantastic. They had one win, actually. They're kind of slightly a little bit less than Japan. They beat Portugal and they lost against Ghana, but they tied Uruguay. But what do you think is going to happen? Is it too obvious?
See, this
Brazil
game
is Korea.
Yeah, Brazil. They're just too good. They're just good, too good. Their starting 11 is too good. Their backup, they'll struggle a little bit against Cameroon, their backups, but I think the starting 11 for Brazil are not going to be. I think the Koreans will try to just kind of, you know, kick at the shins of the Brazilian players and try to get into their minds, like try to get into like a psychological type of game. I think that's probably they're going to be, that's what's going to be their angle for the, and their approach for the game. But I don't think that's going to help them. The Brazilian talent is just going to be way, way too much. And Vinicius is just going to be tearing them up on the left side all day. And he's probably going to get two or three assists. So I'm going to say Brazil 3-0.
And will Neymar play in this match?
Probably not. If they're saying that he's going to be good to play at all for the rest of the tournament, I'd say just save him for the next game. But I mean, does he, like we were talking about earlier, like I don't think they need him. So I understand he probably wants to play, but like as a sub after they've won the game, then yeah, maybe he can go in there and make it seem like he's good. But I think the injury's pretty bad. I mean, his foot was pretty swollen. It was like, it was huge in those pictures that I saw. So I don't think that's a injury that he can just recover from. I mean, he might be able to give him some medication to numb it or something, but you know, what is he going to do then with a numb foot?
Yeah. Just let him take a break and just rest them for the quarters, which they could be playing against Croatia or Japan. Maybe another easy one for Brazil. But I got Brazil in that one as well. Brazil and the and Argentina are my two favorites to go deep. England, Senegal. England finished top of the group. They beat Wales and they beat Iran. Senegal is the African champions. Look, the Senegal team, yeah, they probably are missing Mane, but Mane did not carry the whole team to win the African Cup. Senegal has players like Mendy and Koulibaly. So, but England is England. England's stacked, and apparently Rashford is has two goals already or more. What's your thoughts over this matchup, England versus Senegal?
Yeah, well, England, this is another match that looks, I think, just on paper is okay, England, yeah. But like you're saying, Senegal have some pretty talented players, and you know, they got this far without Mane, so you know, I think that speaks to the players and the character that they know that they're missing, you know, their star player, but yet they're able to perform. I think on England's side, if the match is going to go their way, I think it's because England are going to be, you know, on top of their game. But I think this is one of those matches where they could very easily underestimate their opponents and, you know, get surprised by an early goal of some sorts, a header, or, you know, the Senegal's got some size and they got physicality. So I think they're definitely going to be looking for goals on set pieces, you know, corner kicks, fouls, whatever they can get. And that's probably where they're going to try to get a sneaky goal in for themselves. I could also see this game going into, you know, 1-1, a draw, and all the way into extra time and penalties. I think we know the history of England in PKs. So if it goes that far, I think Senegal would have a good chance. I think that they got to go in for a draw and go all the way to penalties. That's their best to winning this game. And England would do the work for them.
Francisco is picking an upset, Senegal over England in PKs.
If it goes to PKs, I think England are going to win. But if it goes to PKs, they're going to lose. They're going to lose.
There's a condition to that.
Yeah, there's a condition.
I have England. I think they're overwhelmingly good. I think people were shocked with the U.S., but the U.S. is that good, so you can't blame England. I think Rashford, I can't say the secret weapon, because I remember he was not, people were questioning if he was going to get selected for this World Cup. And he did weeks before the World Cup, and he's doing well. I think he scored 2-3 goals. So I'm not saying he's going to be the key player of the match, but we haven't seen a goal by Harry Kane yet. He's been making assists for goals. But do you think we'll see Harry Kane goals sooner or later?
I mean, we have to. If England are going to be successful or make it, you know, to the semifinals or whatever, I think Harry Kane is going to have to score at some point. He can't not score.
Yeah, cannot score. I mean, he's a great all around. Let's go to the other game that England could face. One of these teams might be France, but France plays Poland. France had a fantastic first group stage performance. I guess they're out of the curse. Is the curse that you have to not win it or something, or you choke in the group? I don't know. But France is out of the group. It came out first. They're doing well without Benzema, which he's technically still in the lineup, and he could always come back. But I say keep him off. France is doing good. If the ingredients are doing fine, why change it? And they got Poland. They got Szczesny and Lewandowski. Lewandowski scored his first goal in the group stage, and Szczesny had a great performance in the group stage part. Your thoughts over this matchup, Francisco? Is this an easy win, or is it going to be a tight one?
Well, I think France has the upper hand in this game, but I think this match is going to be a little bit closer than people expect. Poland have been have made all three of their games pretty exciting to watch. You know, they defended well at times, but then just let the opponents just completely hammer them with shots left and right, and Chesney's just making worldly saves here left and right. So
who made a bet with Messi, apparently.
Oh, he's got a bet with Messi.
Well, he did during the Argentina match. He said he'll bet 100 million or 100 euros if he misses or makes the penalty, which he was not supposed to do that, but he admitted it during a press conference.
Just admits to making bets. He's like, hey, this is illegal. He's like, I don't care.
So
that's hilarious.
So you got France.
Yeah, I think it's Poland's going to give France a pretty good fight. But I think France will take it home. I'm going to go with a 3-1 score prediction.
That sounds about right. I don't know about fight. I think 3-1, but I don't think it would be that troubling. I think Mbappe is having a fantastic tournament. And I think they'll do well, with Chesney or Lewandowski. Let's go into the next match. Morocco versus Spain. Morocco is doing having a fantastic tournament so far. Hakim Ziyech and Hakimi definitely are showing their muscles in this tournament. Spain, the only bad matchup they had was against, well, not bad, but it was close, was with Germany. But they did lose against Japan, but they came out of the group in second place. What's your thoughts over this matchup? Could this be an upset?
I think the way that Morocco has been playing, it's got sort of a little hint of that, but I think Spain will have it. It'll be, I think after the first like 20, 30 minutes after reading and seeing how Morocco plays, I think Spain will be able to lock it down and not really have anything to worry about. I think Morocco has a lot of going forward. You know, they have potential to score goals, and that's all you need to win a game is score a couple goals or outscore your opponent. But I think Spain will be able to lock it down. I don't think we've fully seen what Spain can do when they're really, you know, focused and on the game. I think we still have more to see from this Spain team, and you know, going forward, I think if they make it through into the next phase, that's when we're really going to see if this Spain is real or not. I think after this Morocco game, once they get over that, then now the real work is going to start for Spain, and they're going to get some opponents that are actually you know, tough for them. Yeah, they lost to Japan, but let's not think about that. They made it through the group stage. You know, teams, it's strategic. You know, you only need a certain amount of points to make it through. And you know, you only got one chance every 4 years, so you got to be very meticulous and tactical about your approaches. But I think Spain will have this one 2-0.
Yeah, we'll see what Luis Enrique has in mind. Would you rather play Morocco or Croatia? Well, I guess Luis Enrique wanted Morocco, apparently. let's go in their potential opponent. If Francisco's right, I have Spain as well, squeaking it out. Morocco won't be easy. I think this will be one of the closest matches. But Portugal versus Switzerland. Portugal having a good tournament. I have to admit, they're having a good tournament, even though they lost. No, they lost against Korea, but I think they're looking good. A stacked team, Bruno, Ronaldo, and of course Pepe. Sometimes, no, not really. He's a sub. Switzerland, very neutral. I think they have had a good run in the Euros, and they're having a potentially good run in this World Cup. Probably another close match. Your thoughts? What's going to happen there?
I think Switzerland has been, you know, playing well in the tournament. Portugal, they had that little upset, a little bump in the road, but you know, with Ronaldo, especially in this last game against who was it? Korea. Against Korea.
Yeah.
That was probably his worst game so far of the tournament for Ronaldo. He just was not having a good game. And that doesn't look good going into the next round. But I think if Bruno is going to be the player, you know, that goes forward, that's going to be dictating, you know, who gets the ball and, you know, giving him the power to just to tell him, hey, give the ball to the player that's, you know, in the best position to score. Don't just give it to Ronaldo, which is probably what he was instructed to do before by Ronaldo, of course. But yeah, I think if Portugal play as a team and not try to like get into this whole mindset of we need to win this for Ronaldo or, you know, whatever, I think they just need to forget about all that noise and all the criticism and whatnot, and especially with what's going on with Manchester United. Leave all that behind, and I think they'll have a good game against Switzerland, and they'll make it through. I'm gonna get a prediction for this one that's it's gonna go 0-0, but in extra time, that's where Portugal are gonna score their only goal. So it'll be a close 1-0 game in extra time.
If it was a golden ball age, they would have won, right?
The golden goal. Yeah, they need to bring the golden goal back. That's probably
they got to. I have no problem
favorite
with it.
Rule.
No problem with it. And yeah, they only had it for 2 World Cups.
Like most of the time in extra time, all you need is one goal. So you get the goal, and what do the teams do for the rest of the time? Just defend, you know, kick it out or waste time. You know, like I think there's been games where they've like calculated the amount of time that the ball is actually in play versus not in play. And sometimes it's like 50 minutes or something like that. It's like, dang, that much time gets wasted from throw-ins and fouls and, you know, whatnot. That's crazy.
Well, we did the predictions already. You and I had the same predictions. We had no upsets and no curveball. But I will say one thing. If I had to pick one, Francisco, it will have to be the Morocco-Spain match. I think that one might be. And also, well, hold on.
You put your money on that one?
Let me put USA and Netherlands as well with that.
Oh, and the U.S. Okay.
Yeah, that will be my first big upset. Then after that would be the Spain and Morocco match.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see South Korea beat Brazil. I think if South Korea beats Brazil, then South Korea is winning the whole thing.
Might as well. They got an easy bracket.
They're going all the way
ahead of them. Which they made it to the top four back in 2002, but at home.
Yep, they have the home crowd behind them.
Well, there you have it. Tomorrow morning begins the round of 16 of the World Cup, 10 a.m. Eastern, USA, Netherlands. That's where things, you know, you win or you go home. That's it. Francisco, your closing thoughts over this World Cup so far?
Closing thoughts. I think so far I do like the pace that it's going at. I don't have a problem with it. I think some people, the players never get a break and blah blah blah. It's a physical sport, dude. They have to stay in shape. They always got to be training. So if anything, this is helping them. All right. So I like the pace that it's at. Especially, you know, with it being over the winter, it's going to be 3.5 years till the next World Cup. So, you know, it's a little bit less time that we have to wait till the next one. So I like the pace. I like what I've been seeing so far in the matches, the emotions and the celebrations, and the refs are being a little harsh on the players that are taking their shirts off. If they already have a yellow, it's like, come on, you could let them have it. Come on, just forget about it, you know, one time. But yeah, great World Cup so far. And I think the media has done a pretty good job of suppressing the whole like criticizing Qatar, but you know, people are going to have their opinions about, you know, politics, whatever. It's their country, it's their religion, it's their customs, their culture. We don't live there. We don't understand it. So, you know, it's not our place to critique and judge, like just let them be, you know, if that's what they do, that's what they do. We live here in the US and that's what we need to care about is our country.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. We've got to respect their cultural norms and, you know, And also think about how do they feel when they come to a Western culture country like, you know, Europe or North America. They probably think, wow, this is horrible, whatever. But they stay quiet about it, or maybe I don't watch your media, so I don't know if they criticize it or not either way. But, you know, it's going to happen. No one's perfect. It's the World Cup. It's going to happen. Not every country has to be the same. It's just how it is. It's just it is what it is. But I think seeing the Asian countries, which is something that Hal brought up. He's a other contributor. He was like, look, all that noise, you've seen the Asian countries being successful, also like North African teams as well. So love to see those opportunities. And usually when it's usually Francisco, when I see the World Cup being played outside of Europe or out of the Americas, you see more neutral. You see other teams kind of pop up a little bit more. So,
yeah.
But yeah, looking forward to it. Too bad we will not see Brazil Argentina final. So that's the only
thing. Nope. Won't be possible this World Cup.
Won't be possible. Anyways, Francisco, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about Mexico? Who should be Mexico's next coach?
Yeah. Give me some ideas. Give me your best job applications, offers. I'll send them to the FMF if you also want to apply. Or not the FMF, it is the FMF.
I think it is, yeah. Federación Mexicana de Football.
Yep. But yeah, if you want to at me, DM me, it's on Twitter at Francisco BCP. You know, send me all your U.S. versus Mexico hate mail that you want. I'm here and ready for it. I got to hear about this for the next 3.5 years. So might as well just get it out of the way now, you know, because in 3 years we'll forget about it and it'll be a whole new situation in 3 years.
Would you rather have a coach that coached in Mexico already? I don't know, like the other ones, or you want like a brand new young coach and just, hey man, you're young, you know, see what you can do.
I think with the amount of time that we have till the next World Cup, it doesn't really allow for a lot of time to experiment. So if we, I think bringing in somebody new, somebody who hasn't done it before, is somebody with new ideas. I think that would help. Even if those ideas don't work, at least just to say, hey, we tried something else. And then if those new ideas don't work, then let's not revert back to the system that we had before those new ideas came in. Like, let's just try something else then. If that new idea doesn't work, don't go back to the old, go to something new. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm excited to see who they announce as the manager. And also, don't be afraid to go on the social media and criticize the players, because they deserve it. Like, they put out what the best performance that they could on the field, and they deserve to be criticized for it as well, because everyone needs to face reality. You know, you can't deny what happened. So I support letting the players know that we're not happy with the way that they perform. So that way in the culture of the team, it's like, hey, if you're not going to just get praise here, you know, for being there. Oh, we made it to the World Cup. No, you got to be successful. This is Mexico.
Yeah. A couple of goals away from advancing, but sometimes you need that bump in the road. And at least you guys went to the World Cup and, you know, got, you know, a little bit slapped in the group stage rather than not get qualified like the U.S. did back in 18. We bounced back, and now we could potentially go to the quarterfinals, but we'll see what happens there. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or the Sportscast One on Twitter and Instagram. Tomorrow we'll have a reaction show with Hal Phillips, author of Generation Zero. He'll be with us at 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow after the Netherlands USA win or lose. We'll have a reaction show and see what happens. Hopefully it'll be a positive one, but no guarantees on that. And tomorrow we'll be getting up early, so I gotta get ready for tomorrow morning and cheer for the U.S. the only CONCACAF team left in this tournament, and hopefully we can go deep as much as we can, because the bracket where I see is not that bad, but it is pretty balanced more than last time, because last World Cup there was one side of the bracket was like full good teams, and the other one was a little bit light, which is Croatia and England. So, anyways, Francisco, I'll see you next Friday. Next yep. Friday, we'll probably know the semi, or no, we'll probably be in the quarterfinal round by next Friday. Yeah, I think a couple of games before that show happens. So, I'm ready. Thanks for yep. coming on to the Sportscast.
I'm ready for it, and we will see you next week. Thanks for having me.
And this was your World Cup coverage update.